time for Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. All around the world, from the United States to Canada, Europe, Russia, South Africa, Australia, the Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of godly Christians. The Bible says, quote, as an eagle stirreth up his nest, end quote. We invite you to stay tuned as Pastor Peter J. Peters shines the mighty light of the gospel on the source of our problems and the only solution. Please keep Scriptures for America in your prayers. And now, Pastor Peters.
And it is Monday, December 7th, 2009, and December 6th, 2009 is now history. We had a great event that took place yesterday. It was aired on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It took place at our Assembly of the Saints on Sunday morning. One of the emails pointed out that it was December 6, 18-something, that they put the cap on top of the Washington Monument. They wanted to know if I picked that date because of that. No. I think the Heavenly Father picked the date for what we did yesterday, and that was a great thing to him. And I announced to you last week that today we would have a special guest, and I'm looking forward to this night's broadcast. I want you to know, brothers and sisters in Christ, I've already prayed for the broadcast. I prayed that God's people might truly begin to believe His Son. That said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And they might begin to understand the words of Peter. And they talked about these creatures of instinct. And with that said, Pastor Peter Peters wants to welcome to you a guest that he has been fortunate enough to line up for tonight. Actually, one of my Radio Ranch Wranglers, Jason, lined up the interview. It's with Dr. True Ott. He has a Ph.D. and he's a naturopath, or I think it's a naturopath. We'll ask him. Dr. Ott, are you there?
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Pastor Peters.
I should be thanking you. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. You know what happened to me, Doctor, is somewhere in the mail I get emails and all, I read an article written by you talking about the flu of, what was it, 19 what?
Well, it was the pandemic of 1918, so-called the Spanish influenza. But, it's a misnomer. We'll talk about that.
Well, I'm just going to open the gate and let you run down the track and teach me and my audience what obviously you've researched and studied and learned, and it's quite incredible. So take away, you've got a worldwide audience. I get emails from as far as New Zealand, Australia, South America. We're heard on WWCR, Worldwide Christian Broadcasting, out of Nashville, shortwave. It's being heard on the satellite and on Internet right now. And so this, I want you to know, is your opportunity to teach us. And I pray that, anointing will be on you to do that. So take it away, Doc.
Well, very, very good. We got to turn the clock back to the early 1900s, and we see that the so-called vaccine science was in great favor with the establishment. And I'm talking about the Rockefeller Institute. Okay, we had. I say we, the American people, were subjected to a number of incredible experimental vaccines. And listeners have to realize, first and foremost, that viruses per se were not really seen under the microscope until the 1930s. The work of Jenner and Pasteur dealt with what they could see, and that's bacterial forms, okay? And just so I can refresh the listeners' memories, and just basic science of vaccines in general, Pastor, we know that the science is basically you inject a small inert antigen, as it's called, a basic form of the pathogen, whether it's bacterial or viral, and the body then can remember that basically by making antibodies to fight against it. That's gives the body immunity from this disease. That's the basic science, as you know, of vaccinations. However, what what has happened is, you know, Jenner and Pastor both, towards the twilight of their careers and their life, and they basically regretted the genie that was let out of the bottle with these vaccinations. They lamented it really is the terrain, the body's terrain that is the hero. Why would you want to inject toxins into the body that are foreign to the body to create a disease state in the body? What's the purpose of that? Back in the 1910s in Britain, many, many deaths were caused by the smallpox vaccines given to young infants. It's in the medical record. Many hundreds of innocent children were killed from these this experimental science, yet we don't hear that much about it, if anything, right now about it. Now, during the Great War, the war in Europe, it wasn't really called World War One until many years later, but the war to end all wars, raging in France, Kaiser, Wilhelm's troops, Germany versus the Allies, what many people don't realize is that America at first was allied with the Kaiser. There were many, many German emigrants into America, and there was a lot of very beneficial trade going on with Germany. And so in the first initial years, America was allied with the Kaiser. And we have the influence of the Rockefeller clan. If you look at their etymology, the Rockefeller family was originally from from Germany, from the old Rhineland. They actually came over to America and changed their name from Rogenfeder to Rockefeller to sound more Western, to sound more American. And so we have this family, the Rogenfeders, who were basically Zionists, and of the Jewish encampment, there was a great Jewish conference in Germany in the year 1890 in Habsburg, Germany, and the historical record shows that there was this week-long conference. Debate over Zionism was front and foremost in the European Jewish community, that they basically held a vote at the end and voted down the Zionist ideal. They basically declared that Palestine was not their ancestral homeland. Their 80% roughly came from Khazar, the Khazarian region. Again, this is all in the history books if you want to go and dig deep into it. One of the leading families of the Zionist movement was Rogenfeder, and in anger and hostility, they left Germany and vowed revenge on the German Jews and the European Jews, actually, that voted down the Zionist ideal. But the Rockefellers then embraced Christianity, but they really aren't Christians by bloodline. They're Jewish by bloodline, okay?
Right. And my audience is, most of my audience probably are right with you right now. They understand.
Okay.
Just so you know what you're talking, who you're talking to, a big share of my audience understands the Khazar factor. And so go on.
So we're not, you know, I want to make it clear, I'm not anti-Semite or anti-Jewish at all. I believe there's a subset of that ethnic group that has some very strange ideas about world control and domination. To them, I say the same thing that the Savior said to the scribes and Pharisees of their bloodline, call them literally serpents and generation of vipers. Make no mistake, that's who was in control of the world stage today, the same bloodline of Cain's blood, the scribes and Pharisees, that Christ so well knew who they were. Okay, I submit he wasn't using slang. I submit he knew fully well who they were. Okay?
And I think most of my audience will say, we understand that when Jesus said, you'll pick up snakes, we're picking up on what they've been doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, again, he counseled us to be what? To be as wise as the serpents, but unlike the serpents, to be harmless as doves And that's where I espouse to that philosophy as much as possible. We need to understand who they are and what their agenda is, and that where that leads us to the conversation of what happened in 1917, 1918. When the war was raging there in the trenches of France, one of the biggest fears of the generals on both sides of the conflict was the dreaded typhus fever. As you get large amounts and hundreds of thousands of troops in camps with very poor sanitation, you know, there's no running water, no sewers per se, they just have these shallow latrines. You can just imagine the living conditions. And as Napoleon found out and many other generals, typhus fever is enemy to be feared more than the swords of the enemy, okay?
What are the symptoms of typhus fever?
Typhus fever is basically just severe dehydration caused by vomiting, incessant diarrhea.
I see.
And to the point where you get so weakened and feverish that you pass away.
Okay.
That's really what it is. Typhus fever was feared by the generals in the trenches. And so enter stage left, the Rockefeller Foundation, with the shot syringe of a typhus fever vaccine. Now, many hundreds of millions of people, both civilian and military, were given this vaccine shot. Of course, it was not free. The Rockefeller laboratories were paid amazing amounts of money for this miracle drug. And we find that people that were injected with this became ill with what was in the textbook at the time, the medical record of the time, what they called a, quote, a tetra typhus pneumonia. And literally millions, tens of millions of people perished worldwide. And we trace it back to this typhus fever vaccine, all right? Now, it wasn't until the later part of the 1930s into the early 1940s during World War II that this was this tragic episode in world history of 1918 was labeled an influenza pandemic. If you read all of the textbooks, the history, the medical records at the time, all of the doctors and medical colleges were calling it paratyphus pneumonia. Similar to typhus, you had some digestive problems and you developed a very, very bad, deadly case of pneumonia that absolutely killed quickly, killed very rapidly. Now, we take that history and we then look at how the vaccine itself was manufactured and we get some clues. Okay, part of the symptomology of typhus is you get these fever blisters, these pustules of pus that form, and back at the time that was thought to be the harbingers of this bacterial. It's like smallpox or cowpox, okay? So the laboratories would harvest this pus material from the humans and inject it into the closest animal relative to the human, which is a pig, and caused the pigs to come down with the same disease. They would then harvest the infected pig pus, okay, and inject it into chicken and turkey egg albumin as an incubating base, and then harvest it there and into the vaccine material. This again was what was injected as a vaccine into our doughboys, our troops going into World War One, and began the so-called pandemic epidemic, killed as many as 50 to 60 million people in 1918.
Now that's worldwide, right?
Oh yes, it was. This was passed out to many of the participating countries during World War One, and it, again. The Rockefeller Labs, they had no problem exchanging money, whether it was Indian money from India or German money. In fact, the Kaiser's troops, the Kaiser received the first doses of the vaccine. And if you really understand the battle history along those trenches, the Germans were so ill from this pneumonia that it really was the turning point to turn the tide in the war to the Allies' favor. Little known piece of history there.
Yeah, I had actually heard that they had to stop the war because this thing got so big.
Oh yeah, that's really what stopped the war was this massive what I call a vaccine-induced disease epidemic outbreak, VIDEO videos. And this was the first big scale. But you see how big and dirty a secret this is?
Yes.
It's not good business for Big Pharma for the true etymology of this pandemic to be exposed. But, you know, you the fear-mongers on the worldwide newscast, they always bring up how deadly this pandemic of 1918 was, but you never hear anybody talking about the origins of it, where it came from.
Now, evidently, doctor, it was contagious after you got it, was it?
Oh, surely. Just like when you get a smallpox from the vaccine, you can pass it on as a carrier. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, you know, when you have troop transports going worldwide during World War I, and they're all been vaccinated and carriers, that, you know, that spreads this thing quite rapidly. And as we know now from modern science, we know that this was really a virus that, in fact, it can mutate ever so slightly and become a very, very nasty killer, okay? Luckily for the human race, typically after a strain comes in the second and third wave, it will devolve back into a very benign form and basically die out. And that's exactly what happened in 1919. The winter months came and there was no more of an outbreak, and you know, we dodged a bullet. It could have been very, very much worse, but it wasn't. So, fast forward to the year 1997 now, and we have complete proof from various sources that the U.S. Institute of Pathology at Fort Detrick, Maryland, a team headed by a man named Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger, was commissioned to try and locate a specimen of the 1918 killer influenza. And the Taubenberger Fort Detrick team successfully found such a virus in the lungs of a heavyset Inuit Eskimo woman buried at Brevik Mission, Alaska. They unearthed the body. It was in a grave in the permafrost, and because of the folds of fat, the obesity of the woman, her lung material was pretty much still intact, and they did, in fact, find a complete specimen of the DNA of this virus. Now, there was technology perfected in the mid-90s, a vast computer analyzing array that now has capability to take a DNA strand and completely segment and break it down and then reverse engineer it. And that's what happened in 1997. Taubenberger published a paper in Science magazine where he analyzed the virus responsible for the 1918 death rate. Was a quote, a reassortant virus, which means it had components of different animal species. He said it was a component of H1N1 swine flu, an H5N1 bird flu component, and no less than three components of H3N2, which is the normal human influenza virus, all patched together. Now, it's really important to understand that the creator put these virus forms have a place and a purpose by the Creator. Okay, you've got bird flu, H5N1, is designed to be a killer of birds that become too stressed because of overpopulation. You have, let's say, a bird population of ducks that, because of their breeding and lack of predation, grow out of control in the food supply. Their terrain suffers, their immune system suffers. The latent H5N1 virus can then wreak havoc on the population to keep it under control. But there's firewalls, so to speak, that don't allow them to jump into the human structure and affect humans correctly. Okay?
All right.
It's like saying if you tried to mate with a duck, you wouldn't produce a duck-human hybrid. It's the same genetic firewalls.
Okay? Sure. Makes sense.
And same with pigs. All right? They just naturally do not form a human variety of viruses in nature. It needs human intervention to make that happen. And you see, looking at how the typhus fever vaccine was created, you have human to pig to bird and back to human, and that mixing in a test tube, basically, in vitro structured test tube, is what caused the reassortant. Back then, they had no idea they were doing this. It was a very bad science, a very bad vaccine that killed millions. The tragedy is they're not fessing up to it today now that the knowledge is there. That's the tragedy. And they're wanting to do the same thing, basically, today. That's the tragedy, and that's the news story. That is the news story.
You know what, on this, going back to the old story, what amazes me, Doctor, is that then they didn't have the media technology they got today. Like you said, they hadn't even seen a virus yet underneath a microscope. I'm amazed that they were able to get the people to do it, but I suppose because when you're in the Army, you're the property of the government. You just do what you're told.
Oh, absolutely. Very, very observant. And astute, absolutely. What happened during 1917 when the Lusitania was attacked and sunk and the tide turned against Germany and the war rhetoric reached the high crescendo, President Woodrow Wilson for the first time instituted the draft. You didn't have a choice. You were drafted. You were pressed into service. And part and parcel of that was you lined up in your civvies and got your vaccines. You got your shots. You weren't given a choice. If you refused the vaccine, you spent significant time in the brig and maybe even dishonorably discharged. Okay? So there was no questioning, as you said. I found a very interesting book written in 1920. It's called The Horrors of Vaccination. It was a book written in expose report and presented personally to President Woodrow Wilson in the Oval Office in 1920. The book is incredible in its documentation of the links to the 1918 pandemic, meaning the forced vaccinations, and also just a plea to the President and the Joint Chiefs of Staff to stop mandatory vaccinations, that it's basically unconstitutional in the extreme. Very, very well done book. And I took this book and actually reprinted it. It's available, and I would highly suggest anybody that wants to have some original research on this subject to get this book. It's a fantastic expose and read on what's really going on in the vaccine world.
Now, what's the name of that book again?
It's called The Horrors of Vaccination. The listeners can order this book by calling my office. Its phone number toll-free is 866-989-9876. And I'll be happy to ship that right out to the listeners.
And while you're on that point, do you have a website that you can direct the people to?
I do. My website is my company. I am a naturopath, as you asked in the opening, and I have a doctorate, PhD, in the field of nutrition, and my field of study is in the role of minerals, and I do I make my own mineral supplements, all water-soluble, which is really a key component of that. But my website is www.meminerals.com. meminerals.com. ME stands for Mother Earth Minerals, which is the name of my company.
All right. Well, carry on. You're certainly educating me, and I know you're educating my audience. I want to read a scripture, though, if I may, to everybody.
Sure.
It says, but he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me love death. Oh, that I could get it across to the audience that I might be preaching to tonight, that it's really true. There really are creatures of instinct, serpents, that steal, kill, and destroy, and they love death. And I don't know if I agree with the doctor when it was an oops. I think it was, instead of an oops, it was more a ha-ha, because I think they enjoyed the death of 60 million people. Now, that's just my personal opinion.
Well, I agree with that after the fact, but I submit that originally they didn't plan on killing this many people. Okay?
Well, I'm sure that the certain layer of this didn't, but I'm really wondering, as you describe this whole process, I mean, we're talking about real bizarre witchcraft practices, taking the pus of a pig and putting it into a chicken and an egg. And, I mean, this is thing. You got to have a real twisted mind to do this, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's no doubt about it. Pharmacopoeia, of course, is Latin for sorcery. And that's really an apt description, really, of what goes on with these vaccines. There's no need for them, ladies and gentlemen. I got to make that, if I can just scream that from the rooftops. It's one of the biggest lies ever by medicine, so-called. The diseases of diphtheria, smallpox, tetanus, all of these things, if you look at the etymology, the beginnings of them, you find that it's tied to poor sanitation. You find contaminated waters. Polio is a waterborne virus. You contract it from consuming or bathing in viral-laden waters, and that's what passes it, okay? When you have the technology of slightly chlorinating, causing an oxygenation factor in potable, drinkable water, you see that these thread diseases have diminished and gone away. It's not because of the vaccines, not at all. That is a big lie. In fact, the vaccines cause more disease states and cause more deaths than they ever hoped to prevent. And this is what Charles Higgins in his book, Horrors of Vaccination, proves so beautifully. It's an incredibly important book, again, published in 1920. Philosopher Satignana said, those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Well, I submit this, that if we don't even know the history, how can we learn from it? Okay.
Well, good point. Very good point. And they make sure there's certain history we don't know about.
And this is one thing that they hate for us to understand. Our little children being vaccinated more and more at birth and up to 6 months of age causes that baby's blood to be contaminated. The brain doesn't develop correctly. There's so many tragic things that happens. And most definitely it's a matter of educating people as to the truth and the true history. And so, again, this book is called The Horrors of Vaccination. It's an incredible book to have in your personal library. So we get from 1997 to the year 2003. We have a series of reports written up by Taubenberger, who, by the way, is a Zionist, a Jewish individual. working for, of all things, a group of Zionist Jews. He reports on a quarterly basis to AIPAC, the American-Israeli lobby, okay? We see now that in 2003, he's not only been able to reverse engineer this killer virus, but now we find that certain Mossad and Israeli-backed concerns are now able to mass produce this virus and uncover it. They're covering it up as producing a worldwide vaccine for an inevitable pandemic. This was announced in 2004 and 2005. Navarro on the floor of the United Nations announced that the world is due for a new pandemic. But he said this just months after Taubenberger had completed the genetic reverse engineering of this killer virus. Now, we see some very, very shady and powerful evil coming into play here with this. We see, again, the bloodlines of the scribes and Pharisees, the Antichrist faction, again, wanting to control the world's population and bring it down to as little as 500 million individuals. Now, I'm not making this up, folks. This is the agenda of the Dark Lord. You know, it seems to me, and you can verify this, the God that I know and love and worship and my Savior, Jesus Christ, wants people to have families, to multiply and replenish the earth. I remember that's one of the first commandments given. And so if you want to talk about death and destruction and destroying billions of people, well, that's not the God of the true God's agenda, okay? Outside of Athens, Georgia, and you can Google this up or any search engine, just type in the Georgia Guidestones, and you see a very bizarre monolithic series of stones cut out and placed in the earth at a specific point. These give basically the Ten Commandments of the New Order, the Order of the Ages, which is, according to the symbology of these stones, is set to be brought onto the earth in the new dawn on December 21st, the winter solstice of 2012. The first commandment is to drop the earth's population down to 500 million. Well, do the math, ladies and gentlemen. You see that's roughly 6 billion people that need to perish. Now, how are they going to accomplish this? Well, wars and famines that can only take so many people, but a killer virus that they have reverse engineered and made even more lethal can certainly do the job.
Very interesting. I, as the doctor was talking, he's our guest tonight, Dr. Ott, I was thinking about Psalms 91, ladies and gentlemen. 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. And you look at the context, it seems like it's really dealing with plague. So, don't want to frighten anybody, but you don't need to be frightened if you're in Christ and you are walking by faith. You can claim the promises of Psalms 91. I know I do. And in that Psalms 91, it says, with a long life he'll satisfy you. But the psalmist there in Psalms 91 says the plague will not come near your tent. But it could be that they're planning a plague. But, of course, those that are listening, my guest doesn't know this, but we've already prayed the plague of Zechariah 14:12 on the enemy. But we're really dealing with war and biological warfare, aren't we?
We are, and I submit to you, you're the theologian, Pastor. I'm a lay person, but I read and I pray and I do study the Bible. There's Christ himself reiterated the words of Daniel where he said there will be an abomination of desolation poured out upon the world prior to his second coming, prior to his establishment of his kingdom again. And he said that basically, I'm paraphrasing, you can give it specifics here, but unless the elect come forward, the days would not be shortened. And he said, he gives us some clues, if you remember, he said, woe unto those who are with child and those who give suck in those days. I submit he was giving us a clue that pregnant women and those lactating women would be first in line for the vaccine.
That's interesting because they're sure the ones that are first targeted, aren't they?
And they're the ones, I can't tell you, I can't read all the emails from people now. I did a secondary writing called Vaccine-Induced Abortions, okay? There's a real strong body of evidence to conclude that this first round of vaccines is an immunosterilization tool, okay? The structures of it that I've analyzed of this vaccine, to me, I really strongly believe that it's going to cause sterilization both in men and women that receive this vaccine.
Interesting.
First step. Very first step. And I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten from women who followed their doctor's advice, came first in line, got the shot, and spontaneously aborted their child. Hundreds have reported to me. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Along those lines, one thing that comes to my mind, so those poor little girls age 12 and older down in Texas that were forced to take that vaccine by that beady-eyed snake bastard governor down there, only God knows how. I guess some of them have already died.
Right.
You're aware of that story?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, see, this can be a stealth virus as well. If you look at the Novartis patents they've issued on the vaccine itself, there are factors in that vaccine that make it basically go inert on certain people react differently with it. And I think they know the gene types, the blood types that would make that happen. At some point, another vaccine could be introduced and activate the latent viruses and become a very, very deadly killer. Make no mistake, this is just the first round of a series of vaccines that are in the works. Okay, there's a report issued, and I'd love to email anybody who would like to receive a copy of this report. It is literally called Resurrecting Pandemic Influenza Viruses. It explains, the author is a colleague of Taubenberg, is a man named Dr. Terrence Tumpey, T-U-M-P-E-Y, and they basically brag about what they've done. And they, if you read this with a professional eye and read between the lines and look at the footnotes, you find that there are as many as five different what they call 1918-like viruses that have been basically engineered and ready to be released with vaccines to go along with them. They range in virulence to, what we see now, the H1N1 being relatively mild, a 72-hour bug, and that's about it. The number five virus is 70% mortality, absolutely a killer virus in the extreme. And make no mistake, this has been weaponized and ready to be released at their whim.
Now, what was it you were telling me prior to the program about patents?
Well, we see that Novartis, the company out of Basel, Switzerland, has a patent on the virus that's tied to their current vaccine. We also see that a company called Metamune has the flu mist, swine flu vaccine that you just put into your nose. They also have a patent granted on the virus itself. Now, that's shocking in the extreme to my sensibilities. You know, they want you to believe on one hand that this thing just naturally evolved into pig herds, yet they have a patent on the virus itself, meaning that they know it's been reverse engineered in their laboratories, and thus they patent the vaccine off of the virus itself.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Doctor, do you care if we open the phone lines up for case there's questions?
Oh, absolutely. No problem. I'd love to do that.
We're broadcasting live this Monday evening, the 7th of December, 2009, and our phone number is 307-745-5913. 307-745-5913. And if you've got a question for our guest tonight, comment, that's the number to call. And one more time, it's 307-745-5913. Of course, you're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, and this program will be replayed other times during the week on the network. And you might notice that we're not taking time for commercial breaks or selling you soaps or whatever. It's because this is a saint-sponsored network. If you want to support it, you write to Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. It's 307-745-5913 as far as phone number goes. And, Doctor, you might want to give out your offer again about the what you made earlier and your phone number.
Yeah, the book, by the author's name is Charles Higgins, and the book title is The Horrors of Vaccination. It's about a 180-page expose on the true story of vaccines presented to President Woodrow Wilson personally by Higgins and his group of supporters. A must-read to understand the history of what I'm talking about here on the show tonight. You know, I'm not sure of the cost of this book, if it's nominal. We just want to get it out there
well,
to reprint.
Ladies and gentlemen, send them something for it. I mean, it costs just postage anymore is incredible. Let's go to the phone lines. Before I do that, so how do they get it from you?
Toll-free, you can reach me at 866-989-9876. And we only have about a three-line switchboard, so if it's busy, just leave your name and number, and we'll call you back with the information. Okay,
can't beat that, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Peters. You're on the air.
Okay, I just wanted to say I hope you have him back on again, and that's all I had to say.
Okay, where are you calling from so he knows?
Illinois,
thank you.
You're welcome.
You developed a fan there, Doctor. Let's go to another call. This is Pastor Peters. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor. Joe from Pennsylvania. Doctor?
Yes.
I wondered if you could... let me search my thoughts here for a second. Darn, I just forgot what I was going to ask you.
Well, if you think of it, call us back.
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
Okay. This is Pastor Peters. You're on the air.
Hello, I'd like to hear the doctor again, too. But what I called about was, doctor, what do you think of vitamin D3 and the whole timing, you know, cold and lack of sun versus summertime and that sort of thing in these various viruses and influenzas?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not a fan of anything synthetic, and D3 is that, okay? Vitamin D is one of the vitamins that the human body can produce just by exposure to UV light, sunlight, okay? And it only takes 20 minutes of sunlight on your skin to produce a goodly supply of vitamin D. Now, what vitamin D does is it basically strengthens the cells, the cellular membrane, so that viruses can't penetrate them as readily. And, of course, we all know that UV light and viruses don't mix. UV light kills them within just a few minutes.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
This is Pastor Peters. You're on the air.
Yeah, Pastor Joe again. I don't know. I think the question I was going to ask that I wrote down that I misplaced, it might have been partially answered there. I wonder, since the doctor is a naturopath, are there any treatments with herbs, et cetera, that will counteract the effects of an upcoming injection program that they have? I'll hang up and answer it.
Okay, go ahead, Doc.
Well, that's that. I get that all the time. People in the service. I've been on radio show after radio show since back last March, actually, when I predicted this outbreak and knew exactly where it came from. Okay, the best defense is just say no. Do not take the vaccine. Period. Because you're going to be also taking into yourself some toxic. The word is adjuvant. Okay, an adjuvant is merely something that it increases the potency of the pathogen. Now, the adjuvant that's being used in these vaccines is an oil and water mix called squalene, and there was really nothing to counteract an oil going into the bloodstream directly. You know, God doesn't want this oil in the water or in the blood. Oil and water doesn't mix, and blood is mostly water. This is a very, very deadly, toxic brew. So just say no. If it means your job, well, find another job. I hate to say and sound cruel, but under no circumstances would I personally ever take this vaccine. Even if they tied me down, I'd fight screaming and kicking to stop it. Now, as far as the virus itself, if you come in contact with somebody that has received, for instance, the MedImmune nasal spray, which is live virus, okay, and they're shedding this live virus, these live viruses for up to 30 days after the nasal injection, there's just a number of ways to protect yourself. Vitamin C daily is very, very important. The human body, as Dr. Linus Pauling showed, we're the only mammal really that is not able and capable of producing vitamin C, so we have to supplement, okay? So I would take as much as 1,500 milligrams daily of a good high-potency vitamin C. And by the way, there's not all vitamin C is good. we don't have time to go into that.
Yeah, and I do want to get a couple more calls here. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to another call. This is Pastor Peters. Yep, they hung up. This is Pastor Peters. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. I was just wondering what the doctor thinks about colloidal silver and oil of oregano.
All right. There you go, Doc.
Again, perfect. Oil of oregano has been used for eons of times. Time immemorial as an antiviral and antibacterial. And, yeah, absolutely, it's a great supplement. Colloidal silver, there's good and bad as well with that. You've got to look at particle size. So just not all colloidal silver is created equal, but silver in its pure water-soluble form, as much as even as low as 10 parts per million, is absolutely proven to be antiviral. So very, very good protection line of defense as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
You bet. Good question.
And, Doc, I want to thank you for being on. Our time is about to run out, and I'm going to take the last part of the time to have some prayers with the saints out there. But if you've got any closing comments you want to make, now's the time.
Well, thank you. Yes, indeed. This is an absolutely critical time for all people that want to protect their families and loved ones and look forward to a coming time of trial. I mean, this is part of a salvo. This virus is indeed a biological weapon aimed at America's heartland, and it's just a tragic attack. But if you're warned and forewarned and alert, that's half the battle is won right there.
Doctor, thank you very much for being our guest tonight. I know you're a busy man, and it's kind of you to give us some time. And you were heard all over the land, and you'll be heard again on the network as it's replayed. So I do thank you.
Right, but Godspeed, and be safe, Pastor Peter. Thank you.
Yeah, good night, sir.
Good night.
And I want to take what's left of tonight's broadcast. First of all, let us read Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You'll not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. By the way, that name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. Amen. And, of course, talking about salvation, I've talked about it before, that the Apostle Peter talked about it in his letters before he left. And I read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Most important thing you can do, not oil of oregano, not vitamin C, vitamin D, or whatever you come up with, colloidal silver or whatever, I'm not putting any of those things down, but you better learn to have faith in your life. And that's why I've been doing the series on faith. Now, I want you to pray with me in faith. If you get our Scriptures for America Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine, and there's no charge for it, or you can go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and read it there, you'll find that this month we have Prepare Your Own Prayer, Your Own Molotov Cocktail, Prepare Your Own Cursed Type Imprecatory Prayer. And we explain how to do it, and we're going to do it right now. Heavenly Father, we gird our loins with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We lift up the shield of faith, put on our heads the helmet of salvation and hope, and we lift up, well, we wrap ourselves with the mantle of zeal and wrath, and we take the sword of the Spirit, and we pray. And we pray down the plague of Zechariah 14:12 on those that think they are unreachable. O Heavenly Father, we hold you to your word. You said those that dig a pit will fall into it. So let whatever name they're going by these days and whatever they claim to be, Zionists or whatever, let them all of them that love death and intend to have the death of your saints and your people upon this earth, let it come upon their heads through that plague of Zechariah 14:12. And Lord, we cock our rifles we have in the chamber right now, Psalms 109. And we call forth for angels to start firing away, Psalms 109, to those behind the lines, pulling the strings, thinking they're going to get by, killing and stealing some more, destroying. Oh Lord, let the Psalms 109 prayer that we send out there today be theirs in this warfare. Let it be them who have their wives become widows and their children fatherless, and let them be the ones that beg for bread, like your holy word, Psalms 109 says. And so we fire away in Jesus' name. And we're out of time. We'll talk to you another time. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
You have been listening to Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. Should you want to write, the address is Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Our fax number is country code 01-307-745-5914. Again, that is Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Fax number 01-307-745-5914. When writing, please let us know on which broadcast frequency you received this program. Scriptures for America Worldwide is an evangelical ministry dedicated to proclaiming the correct gospel of the kingdom of Christ and to revealing to the world the